Dying Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 20th, 2017. Just don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, please, please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. This phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency. My cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent by United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests, by your request, will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you at your request again, with no solicitations for donations. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. And on another note, let's thank our worldwide listener base, which is in places like Oslo, Norway, Dublin, Ireland, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Vienna, Australia, Tokyo, Japan, and of course cities in the good old USA such as Houston, Texas, Aurora, Illinois, Henderson, Nevada, Buffalo, New York, Memphis, Tennessee. These are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. And yes, there is an increased number of people listening in what place? Washington, D.C. Anyway, now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, in the past years under Obama, we heard all of these refugees were being brought in from all over the country and then put them out to communities all over the United States so very fast that there was complaint. Faster than they was able to complain, they disappeared, which meant that they weren't really being vetted, and not let alone vetted because maybe of being a terrorist, but medical vetting, which had not been done without any thought to these, or if they did give thought, they didn't care, because we kept saying, I said that we would see outbreaks of things we hadn't seen in many years. Sure enough, we saw various kinds of these things popping up all over the country. But the statistics given out by the CDC didn't say who they were coming from. But you could tell it was where the refugees were. And I said then, in fact, on Stan Johnson's Prophecy Club program, that this would get worse. And was it from these people that Obama brought in. Now we are finally seeing proof. Last week, I read an astounding article from World Net Daily called Infectious Problem Caused by So-Called Refugees. The state had already spent $1.5 million in the past year on measles. Well, that article was written by tonight's guest, Leo Holman, He was first on with us to talk about his great new book, which is entitled Stealth Invasion, published by WorldNet Daily. If you have not got a copy, you should get a copy. But it's Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Leo is a veteran journalist and a news editor for the online news giant WorldNet Daily, with a particular focus on immigration and Islam. Prior to joining WorldNet Daily, he served more than two decades as a newspaper reporter and editor in suburban Atlanta and Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina. So now, welcome Leo Holman. Are you there with me, Leo?
I am. Thanks for having me on again, Pastor Dan.
Well, you wrote that article, and it hit right home at what I'd been talking about for some time, that I expected there to be proof coming forward of these things. So this article was just dynamite.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is just another of the unaccounted for costs of the refugees. Official government stats will put the cost of refugee resettlement at somewhere between $1.5 and $2 billion a year, but what they fail to account for is all of the welfare usage, and now we find out that they also don't account for the cost of treating these diseases that are being brought in, diseases that we haven't seen in years here in the U.S., popping back up now in refugee-heavy communities such as Minneapolis, but many others. And Minneapolis, as you said, and was noted in the article, for being well over budget. They'd accounted up $1.5 million to account for these diseases. And now they find out they're coming to the end of their fiscal year, and they need another $600,000. So, you know, about 50% more than they thought at the beginning of the year. And that was because of the measles outbreak, which started around March or April of this year, predominantly within the Somali refugee community there in Minneapolis. There was, I think, about 78 cases, and 64 of them were with 64 or 68, I believe, were within the Somali community. It eventually started spreading a little bit outside of the community until they finally got a handle on it last month in June. There's been no new cases that we know of so far in July, but this was the worst outbreak of measles in Minnesota in more than a decade. So there you have it. There was also an antibiotic-resistant tuberculosis outbreak within the Hmong community, which is mostly the Vietnamese area refugees, and that was also accounted for within this extra budgetary appropriation.
Right. What else is that isn't mentioned is, you know, the human factor to American citizens. I'm sure that some of these people, it may start within the refugees, but surely wouldn't have spread to the normal population.
Well, that's what it started doing, like I said, in the with the measles outbreak. You know, there ended up being at least a dozen cases outside of the Somali community, whereas in the first couple of months, it was almost entirely within the Somali community where these measles cases were breaking out. And that is because most of the Somalis don't get the measles vaccination. You would think that would be one of the prerequisites before Somali children could be sent to the United States as refugees, that they would need to be vaccinated. Not only for measles, but a number of other things. Apparently that's not happening, and this is just proof of it. The outbreak—they denied that earlier, a couple years ago, but now we have the proof that it's not happening. Because if it was, we would not be seeing measles outbreaks within these refugee communities.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think that part of what got me when I first noticed it, you know, first noticed it happening, that they were just bringing them in and they weren't taking any time to to vet them, you know, whether it was a question of for being a terrorist, or they didn't have time to health check them. They were just dropping them off around the country. And that was just highly irresponsible. I mean, it says you'd about have to, what, hate the country to do that to it? I mean, you know, it's just craziness.
It really is. And so if they lied to us about the health screening, you know, it just makes you wonder how much they've been lying to us about the other sorts of screening that they do, because the State Department swears that refugees are the, quote, most scrutinized, most vetted, unquote, of all travelers to the United States. And we know that's a bunch of lies. We have had FBI counterterrorism investigators testify before Congress that that's a bunch of lies, that in the case of Syrian refugees in particular, Mr. Comey himself testified about a year and a half or so ago to Congress saying that, you know, it's impossible to get good data on many of these Syrian refugees as far as their backgrounds, where they come from, who they are, who they even are. You know, they could come in and say they're Mohammed Ahmed or whatever, but there's no way to verify that Mohammed Ahmed lived on, you know, such and such a street in Damascus, Syria, and was employed with so-and-so and has a clean police record or was involved in terror. There's no record of any of this. And right. So, because Syria is a broken country, broken by civil war for 5 years running, and so we really don't know who these people are. He admitted that, as did another fellow by the name of Mr. Steinbach, also with the FBI before Congress. So we know this is true. They've admitted it about Syria, and so the logical question is, if Syria is a broken country, devolved into civil war and chaos, and we don't know who they actually are, these refugees coming from there, then how do we know who they are coming from Somalia, which has a very similar history, only it's even longer? Somalia has been embroiled in civil war since, my gosh, the early 1990s. Right. It's in perpetual civil war. It's an even more broken country over the years. So how do we know who we are getting as so-called refugees from that country? And it just goes on from there. You know, Sudan, the same type of thing. You know, Afghanistan. Right. Afghanistan, how do we know who they are? You know, so the government has egg all over its face, really.
Well, they are trying, the Obama administration, and just serving their own purpose, you know, of what they wanted. But, you know, what really astounds me is this other article I read yesterday. It was the United Nations admits that 7 out of 10 migrants crossing to Europe are not even refugees.
And right.
So if they, that to be said, you know, it's what? This is that stealth invasion like you talk about in your book?
That is the exact premise of my book, exactly, that we're being conned. We're being conned here in the West about who these refugees, so-called refugees, really are. And they're brought here under the guise of humanitarianism and goodwill, and we need to help them. These are people who have been stuck in a bad lot in life, bad circumstances. But, you know, there are some of those who are coming, no question about it. But those stats that you just cited are very telling. 7 in 10 are actually economic migrants, what we would call economic migrants, as opposed to war refugees or people fleeing their country because they're being persecuted due to their political or religious beliefs or ethnic identity. That's what the Geneva Protocols define as a refugee. There has to be a, quote, well-founded fear of persecution. And that's just not the case for many of these people flooding into Europe, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just I also read that there was over a million migrants, as they call them, in South Africa waiting to get away over to Europe. So Europe sounds like they're really in trouble, but if we didn't have the administration that we have now putting the brakes on it, what is this, a worldwide plan and everybody's in on it? It's just, you know, crazy.
Well, actually, Dan, that's an interesting point that you bring up, because this all came to the world's attention, as you recall, in the summer of 2015, which is not that long ago. We're talking, this is summer of 2017, if my mental calendar is correct, and so that was only 2 years ago. Before that, we never heard anything, really, about mass migration into Europe. There were some early signs of it in 2014, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't reported in the news, and it was already happening, but I guess it was just so fantastic, so huge, and by 2015 that the media had to start reporting it. But guess what? It's been happening in Europe for a long time, more than 3 years. This really started in Europe not long after World War II. In the 1950s, you know, Germany started importing Turks, Turkish Muslims, to fill in its declining population. And it's been going on all over Europe since at least the 1960s. Now, the United Nations, I recently discovered this document, published in the year 2000, and it proves your point exactly, that this is not just all a coincidence of civil wars going on in the Middle East and Africa, driving all of these poor migrants and people as refugees into Europe. This document, published in 2000 by the United Nations, is titled Replacement Migration. Is it a solution to declining and aging populations? And the United Nations in this document actually targeted nations by name that it said were suffering from declining and aging populations. And the only real solution for many of these countries would be mass migration. And if they didn't turn to mass migration, that their economies would start suffering, because they would start having shortages of workers and declining tax revenues and all of what is needed to support the aging population that was getting ready to retire.
Right.
And it's striking, this document. To read it 17 years later is almost eerie. It mentions France, Germany, Italy, Japan, South Korea, Russia, the UK, and the United States as suffering from these aging, declining populations in need of mass migration.
Have you ever written an article on that, by the way?
Pardon me?
Have you ever written an article about that document, just for the curiosity?
No, but we have one coming out at WND in the next couple of days. I have been working on it yesterday and today as an editor. My byline will not appear on it, but it is a major article, and everybody should look for it on WND coming out over the weekend. Maybe we could do another show on it after it comes out. But it's just prophetic, because we see 17 years later all of this actually coming to pass, with whole populations being replaced in France, Germany, Belgium, Sweden. This was considered pie-in-the-sky stuff in 2000, and nobody paid attention to it.
Right.
But now the message got to the politicians. Trust me. You know, Bill Clinton shifted. He talked against illegal immigration and mass migration in his first term. And by the way, I would posit that just because I found this UN document dating back to 2000 does not mean that it was not already probably being carried out in the mid to late 90s. This was just one document. I'm sure that if I looked harder, I could find some dating even earlier. And so this, you know, politicians take their orders from these people. That's why Bill Clinton, why did they take their orders? Because they only survive based on monetary donations from donors. And if donors have signed on to a population replacement policy advocated by the United Nations, then the politicians are going to take their marching orders and do what is what they're told. And so Bill Clinton, who talked against illegal mass migration in his first term, turned on a dime in his second term and started advocating the opposite. And we know what Hillary Clinton was all about. She said diversity is our strength. We need to have more migration. She wanted to increase Syrian refugees by 60 or 100%? I don't even remember. 100 may have been 150%, but it's some wild figure. You know, she was totally sold out to this globalist agenda of changing America by changing its people, replacing its population, for heaven's sakes. You know, that is radical. And this is what the Clintons stand for today, as well as Barack Obama and all of the Democrat Party, and I would say about half or more of the Republican Party stands for this exact same principle.
We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs ebook for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
Closed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, I'm going to say it again. It is a miracle that we're back on the air. I said this the last program because right at the first of the last program earlier today, my board went out, and which means my professional mic and everything just went down. I've been talking about it going out for some time. Well, during the so I switched to this headset that I'm on now. You can probably tell if you've been listening to this program, my voice sounds different. Well, so we plugged into this headset directly into the computer, and it's not going through the board, so we're not getting everything that we need. But this, while this is part of the storm damage, we have not recovered from the storm damage. You know, there's people that have been talking to me about a new system and helping me out. But, you know, what, and I'm sure they mean well, but, you know, it hasn't all manifested. And if I could put a dollar amount on replacing the board and fixing all the cords, and everything really needs to be looked at, because after that kind of a surge that went through here, anything that was electronic could go out. So I need to replace my cords and all kinds of things. And so that's roughly around $2,000. So pray about it. You know, I believe that there's I have some supporters out there that could just write a check. So pray about it. And if you haven't got $2,000, you know, anything would help. Or if you want to buy equipment, a lot of people don't want to send cash. Pray of what it might be used for, I guess. I don't know. If you want to buy something, one of the parts, let me know. One person could buy a computer, another person could buy a board, and so on and so forth. But we need help. If you love radio, we need help. And if you make a donation for radio, we need you to say that it's for radio. Otherwise, it goes to the Wichita Mission Church, because that's what we do. We take care of people the Father sends us. People, men, women, children from all walks of life come to us for help. We are the last hope for so many. People like you, though, are the people that's been keeping us going since 2000. Yeah, that's right. The Wichita Mission Church started in the year 2000, and we're now in our 18th year of doing the Wichita Mission Church. I did radio, started in 2001, and so I'm 17 years in doing the talk radio, probably 14 years on this station. And then you know what else? I've also been dealing with Bible prophecy clear since the 90s, besides helping up other ministry and trying to build what the Father wanted in the 90s. We did a mail-out newsletter that we haven't did for a year, but that mail-out newsletter went until last year for over, I can do the math real quick, so 17, about 23 or 4 years, mail-out newsletter about Bible prophecy. Now, somebody did bless us with a new copy machine that's a little professional if I can figure out how to run it. And also donated the postage so that we could do the newsletter unhindered for a year. Prayerfully, that'll start bringing back donations, but we lost a lot in this last year. So we're trying to get that started. Time's a big thing, because I've been trying to piece together this radio station, and it's really hard when you have no money to replace things and so on and so forth. So pray about it. We really do need your help. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. It's only folks like you that have supported us all this time that make the Mission Church work and make radio work. Yes, we minister to people in a part of town that most people don't like to drive through after dark. In fact, even in the daylight. And here's a good one for you. The city of Wichita just okayed doubling or more the police patrols right in our area. In fact, when they talked about it, they said South Broadway. That's where we're at, 900 South Broadway. Right there, right out on the street. Any given time, you can drive down the street. I can point out pushers to you, and I can point out prostitutes and so on and so on and so forth. Just down the street, about a block away, there is a gang that just killed a couple of people, but yet they're trying to build condominiums a couple of streets over. That's a big joke with us, because once if they are able to rent those condominiums, the first time somebody takes a stroll around the neighborhood, they're going to end for quite a shock. Anyway, point is we're in a really bad part of town. But shouldn't we be where the centers are at? That's where Yeshua was at. So pray about helping us, especially right now, because we're in what most ministries call a summer slump. People in the summertime do other things. You know, they go swimming, they go on vacations, they do this, they do that, and they're busy. So we don't have the same amount of audience that we have during the school year, because that's when it really changes. But so pray about it. We really need your help. We need help to pay the Wichita Mission Church bills, and we need money for food. Right now, there's some good sales going on in Wichita that we could hit. We had a little extra cash to hit it. So pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. But why do so many people come to us for help? After all, we're just the Father's Mission Church is just a little place. Well, love is the answer. They're treated as family. You know, we give them relationships. By giving them relationships, that when they decide the need in their crisis to cry out to Yeshua, to cry out for prayers, they come to us because they trust us, because they know that we're set apart and different. And we have no set guidelines like programs. What's a program? Program's something we do on radio, you know. This is a program. But people just walk in the door and ask for what they need. That's the rule. If we don't have a way to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why even the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime. You're listening to radio. It's not free, and donations is what keeps us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. So pray about it. Give me a call if you need to. And now as we go into the second half of our program today, Leo had to leave. He had other commitments, and as you noticed, again, my phone, let's say that, my microphone, again, failed completely right before we went to break. And so I wasn't able to tell him goodbye. But anyway, he's going to be coming back on. We're going to set it up to, if you listen to the last part of what I was talking to him about, there's a really big report coming out. And we will do a radio program on it. Make sure you stay tuned for it, because it will be really good. Anyway, so the second half of the program, what are we going to do? Well, I want to talk with Frank. Yeah, Frank Stephan. He does a thing called the Frank Report. He's the founder of ABR. And Frank really talks, you know, well, Frank about things, and he's usually pretty well on the button. Are you with me, Frank?
I am.
I am. Boy, that's good to hear. Anyway, brother, I asked you a while ago, I said, do you think that there's a war on Trump?
Yeah, you did. And I said, well, you can say it's a war, but, you know, I call it a coup, but war is basically the same. We're on the same page with it.
Well, who's perpetuating this, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, your guest before Leo there made a point that, you know, these people are puppets and they will support whatever their masters tell them to support. You know, so the guys, and I don't, you know, I mean, we could throw out some names, but that's certainly not everybody. And who even knows if they are the real masters or they're just the, you know, lieutenant masters. Because
right.
The real masters tend to be people who we never hear about.
Right. You mean, like, per se, are we, like, what, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati?
No, like
money changers?
Like people who don't even go to the Bilderbergers or the CFR, but they send their representatives. These mm-hmm. are people who never get in the news. These are people who, the word is out, you don't take pictures of me or my family. You don't mention our name in the news. You don't do any of these things. You know, I mean, there are people out there that, you know, that's their thing. And they pull a lot of levers from behind the scenes, and we never know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of like a dark force from a what it sounds like a movie plot.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, but the
well, we can go exactly like, okay, now if we want to know who's really behind the conspiracy, it is the devil, but beyond that.
Well, yeah, and the devil has his minions or her minions or whatever you want to look at it, you know. But the thing is, there are some people who I believe are truly evil, and they are truly behind this, and we may not know who they are. Now, people out there think they know this and they know that, and they may not know as much as they think they do.
Right.
You know, because my experience has been, if you know who they are, they're not who you think they are.
Right.
Because look, if you've got enough juice to control the Congress and get your way in every way, you certainly have enough control to tell the media, if I ever see my name, I ever see a picture, there's going to be trouble.
Right. Absolutely.
You know.
I agree with you 100% on this, and you know, while I believe that, I mean, you know, while we keep mentioning it as a globalist agenda, it is in fact that, because evil wants to rule the world completely. And
one thing about it though, evil does not want to rule the world in the light. They want to do it from the shadows. They want to do it in the dark.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's so hard to see, but you know, I don't know whether it was this program or in the last program, but I pointed to the fact that one of the things that the Trump election did, that when he got elected as presidency, is you could start to see some of these people's true colors, you know what I'm saying? Coming out, being extremely evil, whether in hatred or whatever. You look at Congress right now, what's up with that? We have a completely Republican Congress, and what? They're doing nothing.
Well, yeah, but you know who they're blaming, don't you? I was just reading an article like 15 minutes ago, who they're blaming now. That they can't do anything and they can't get anything done, and they're the most worthless Congress in 164 years. They're blaming Trump.
They're blaming Trump. How are they? What is they? Why
well,
is it his fault?
It is very interesting. It's the kind of weasels they really are, and they say it's because Trump is a distraction. His family's a distraction, and he's a distraction. That's why they can't get anything done. Well, you know, I'll try that next time I don't pay my bills, or I do something that, you know, I could get a ticket for, or I don't do something I'm supposed to do. I'll just say, well, you know, I was distracted. I was distracted by, oh, well, let's see, the IRS giving me a bad time, let's see, what else, you know, that doesn't wash for anybody, okay? You've got a job to do, you better not, you know, you can't pay attention enough not to get distracted by shiny things, then you're not qualified for that job.
Right, right. Well,
but
you
these
know,
guys are actually saying this in interviews, that
well,
it's
you know,
Trump's
what?
Fault.
I believe, not that I believe that, here's what I believe. I believe, number one, a lot of them, if you saw it all the way through the election, you know, like Ryan, he doesn't want Trump to succeed at all. He doesn't want his president to succeed. Ryan's a globalist, you know. Ryan's a globalist. He was for open borders. He doesn't want a wall. In fact, there was a congressman that was on a Fox News, I think it was yesterday or today, came straight out and said he was asked about Paul Ryan. He said, well, Paul Ryan said, well, we ought to give Trump some money for border security, but he would not back, you know, he wasn't going to back the wall. Well, Ryan's a globalist. I don't expect anything to get done with him there.
Well, one thing that, you know, one thing that people need to understand about, you know, Paul Ryan, we can call him names all day long, but the fact of the matter is he's married to a Democrat fundraiser, millionaire, okay? And that's his wife. And before his wife, he dated a black liberal Democrat. Okay, so, you know, the thing is, you're married, Dan, and what? Your wife has absolutely no influence over you, right?
Oh, come on. My, you know, while I reserve the final say in everything, her opinion weighs dramatically. She gets her, and not that she's right or wrong, where she's right so much of the time, you know, in some things, but the point is, her influence helps me. But I expect it in that in our relationship. I expect her influence. I expect her to give me her opinion and what she sees. I trust her. She's been my friend. In a relationship that works, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a two-way street. Yeah, the man has the final decision to make, just like the president's supposed to have the final decision. But if you, if, so let's go to Paul Ryan. If him being married to a Democrat, you can't tell me he's not influenced by that woman. And you know the way those Democrats are, and he's probably a closet Democrat himself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's married to one. He dated one before that. You know, the thing is, and look, you have your thing where you say, okay, you know, look, my wife has her opinions, and I certainly take them into account, and then I make a decision. Well, that's the Christian way, okay? That is the
right.
Christian family unit. That's the way it works. Do you think Paul Ryan is a Christian? I don't think, I don't know that he is, okay? I don't believe he is. I could be wrong, and I don't make the decision on that. But he certainly doesn't seem like one. And,
right.
And so, you know, and if he was, he would be completely unequally yoked.
Right.
Which
right.
Is, which is a bad marriage, whether you're a Christian or not. You cannot be unequally yoked.
Right. They would be fighting constantly.
And they're not. Who Paul Ryan fights against constantly is conservatives.
Right. Right. And the conservative agenda. And again, you know, it just seemed like recently Ryan came into to money. And if you look at all these people that have just, you know, they may get high salaries, but all of a sudden you look into their assets and they're millionaires. And they just became millionaires. Like some of the people that work for Obama. Like that, what was that UN advisor girl that went out and said all the lies for Obama about Benghazi and all that? We find out that she's a millionaire. Where did she get her money? She wasn't before she went to work for the Obama administration. So how did she get her money? You know, it goes back to that. These people, these globalists are paying people off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just ridiculous. Go on.
Well, and the bottom line is, you know, the truism that you work for whoever pays you.
Right.
Okay, so fine. They're pulling down, what, $185,000 a year from, you know, the taxpayers. And, you know, a lot of people figure, well, gee, that's pretty good money, you know. So they work for us, right? You know, because that's not
right.
Bad. Well, yeah, that's not bad unless somebody's walking into your office with bags of money in the millions.
Right.
Then what? Then oh, yeah, okay, so then we get more into the scenario. So Dan works a job, and he's making $50,000 a year. But, hey, guess what? Taco Bell just sent Dan a coupon for a free shake. Man, that's worth $4. Does Dan now work for Taco Bell? No.
No.
Hey, listen, that $185,000 paycheck that comes from the taxpayers is that free coupon. And that's how those congressmen look at it. They don't work for you. That's just a benefit. That's just a, oh, good, another $185,000. You know, well, that's wonderful. But it doesn't mean anything. It's like a coupon. The real money comes from the donors, and it comes in by the millions. And that's how they all end up leaving Congress multimillionaires.
Right. Well, so let's go with this. So, you know, I do honestly believe exactly what you're saying. I know it to be true with so many of them. But is there enough room or latitude to say that not all congressmen are truly bought off it. Some may be really trying.
There's always exceptions to the rule. You know, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't say any of them are actually, you know, by the standards of what normal people are used to. And this is a problem in America, because these guys come to town, they shake your hand, they kiss your baby, they tell you all the things you want to hear, they smile, and they eat barbecue and hot dogs with you at the park, and everybody thinks, wow, this is a regular guy, just like us. Well, no, he isn't. He's an actor, and he's just pretending, okay? And that's pretty much all of them, okay? All of them, every last thinking one of them. But the thing is, you know, there's some on their sliding scale that are better than others. And there's some right. that are not, you know, blatantly taking bribes and voting, you know, for a paycheck and this and that and the other thing. But still, you know, they sit by and they watch these other criminals doing their thing, and they don't come out in the news or out in their community and say, hey, you know what? I saw this senator, I saw this congressman, I heard this, I heard that. They're crooks, they're thieves, they're liars, they don't work for you. And they know it, and they're not telling anybody. Even though if they're not doing it themselves, they're letting it happen and not say anything. It's like the good cop who watches his partner shaking down prostitutes and stuff. And well, I'm not shaking down prostitutes, so I'm a good cop. No, you're a bad cop because you're watching your partner do it.
Right, and it's, you know, it's part of the law that if you watch somebody commit a crime and you don't report it, then it technically puts you in on the crime. And that's conspiracy, you know, it's in the crime. You're aiding and abetting. But let me go like this. See, here's kind of why where I'm at. You know Michael Snyder. He's been on this program a bunch of times. He wrote a book about, you know, the preacher rapture cult, and, you know, he does the economic collapse blog. Well, he's decided to run for Congress because he doesn't think he'll get much opposition and his state needs it. And he's talking all about Congress and everything now. He's a pretty truthful guy. What do you think, the guy has a chance, or they're going to eat him alive?
Well, I mean, he has a chance to be elected, you know, unless he's got some, you know, skeletons in his closet that, you know,
he did.
You know, I mean, and if, hey, you people out there that do, because most people do, you know,
right.
have stuff in their past that they would rather not be public, you know,
right.
whether it's criminal activity. Yeah, whether it's criminal activity or just something embarrassing or something that you're not proud of or whatever, it's stuff that, you know, you'd rather not make public. Well, if
right.
you're going to run for office, my suggestion to any of you is get out front of this thing, whatever it is, and you get out there and you just tell them every dirty, lousy thing about you straight off the bat, because what you're doing is you're disarming your enemies.
Right, absolutely.
You know, but the problem is once you get in there, and I've seen it happen here in Oregon. We had a decent congressman. His name was Wes Cooley. He was a regular guy, and he went to Washington with the right attitude. They destroyed him. Okay? They destroyed him over nothing. And,
wow.
Yeah, they did, here's what it was. And when I say you got something in your closet, okay, here's an example of when you might think, well, I don't have anything in my closet. Well, have you looked in your closet? You better. And you better get a magnifying glass out, because your enemies will. They destroyed him, because when he was running, he said, yeah, I was in the military, which he was. I was in this special unit, which he was. And he was here, there, and the other place, and which he was, except for one place. When the media went to check the military records,
right.
they could not find any record of him being at a certain base when he said he was. Now, the military loses records. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
I've seen
change
that.
Their underwear, okay? And the thing is, you know, that doesn't prove anything, but the media crucified him, started saying he lied, the election's a fraud because he didn't disclose, you know, he lied, and they just kept doing it for 2 years to where, you know, and then they sued him and he had to get legal. He was ineffective, he couldn't do anything, and then there's people, you know, people naturally think, and this is what they're trying to do with Trump. With this Russia thing, there's no evidence. There never has been. They've been at it for 8 months now, and if there was anything, they would have found it already. You know, if anything comes up now, you can bet it's manufactured. But the deal is, it doesn't matter. They don't have to find anything, because it is people's natural idea that if they hear something a million times,
they're going to believe it.
There must be something behind
it.
They might not completely believe it, but, gee, they wouldn't have gone on this long if there wasn't something. You know, it's just like if everybody where you lived and your whole neighborhood started telling everybody, oh, that Dan, you know, he's a bank robber. That Dan, he's a bank robber. He says he's a pastor, but he's really a bank robber. And they just did that for 2 years. Every day. People might not believe it. They might think, well, I know Dan, and he doesn't seem that way, but... Geez,
yeah.
I've heard this so many times from so many different people. There must be something to it. Maybe Dan robbed banks when he was a kid or something. But, you know, something. And that's how it works, and that's how they work it. Because they know human nature.
Especially when they own the media. I mean, the media is behind a globalist agenda, and it's just all corruptness. You know, and that points to where we're at. I don't really see... I mean, amen, if God did indeed put Trump in office and nothing's going to stand against him, but, you know, the world to where it's at, I'm going to use what you said a long time ago. So you think America will get out of the mess that we're in? You said, no, they're too far stuck in the mud. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I don't think that we can ever see actual going back to what we would call normal. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know how God uses... Now, sometimes God uses somebody and says, okay, I'm gonna fix things for you by putting in this guy or whatever. But a lot of the other times, God says, you know what? You're not getting out of this. You're not, you know, you are too far gone. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to put this guy in here to speed this along for you. Because what do you think is going to happen if they succeed in, you know, destroying the Trump administration? We're going to have civil war is what we're going to have, and America will be over.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
You know.
Well, Frank, we're really at the end of the program. Thanks for coming on, and I really enjoyed this little talk that we did. And they can listen to the Frank Report when?
2 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Pacific. But I did want to tell people that if they want to find that article I was talking about, because it's so ridiculous, and you might think, oh, he's maybe making it up or got it off some crazy website. Go check Zero Hedge, okay? Zero Hedge. The headline is GOP lawmakers blame Trump distraction for why they're not getting anything done.
Hey, I'll look it up and put it on our website. All right, well, thanks for being on, and we'll talk again. All right, folks, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Make sure you tune in next week. We got good people, and we will stay on the air. Somehow, we've got a really good producer, and, you know, he can keep us on, hopefully. Anyway, remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life. That's it. He gave his life. Tortured. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. And so, folks, just be blessed. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, Father, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.